I'll just pray if you would bow down with me. Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to you. We come to you, O Lord. You are the rock. You carry us. You have carried. You will continue to carry. We have received your grace. Lord, we will give glory to you. Undoubtedly, we have received grace. Thank you, Lord, as we spend this time to reflect on your word. Jesus, you are the word of God. And so, Lord, as we eat of you and we drink of you, we know we partake in you. And above all, we know that we do it not on the basis of our merit, but we do it because you have chosen us, because you have called us by name, because we hear your voice, because of your abundant grace, and we will come back to you and tell you thank you, because that's the only thing we can do. But we will do that with all our heart, soul, strength and might, all the days of life you give to us, every breath that you give to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to read one verse. You will pardon me for running around. Those of you who know me from before will know. So I told Alex, you will have trouble to zoom me out. Okay. Interestingly, there's a second reason why I run around. Because today morning, my daughter reminded me, please, Appa, don't stand behind the podium. Nobody will see you. Right. So I took that caution very carefully. And accordingly, you will allow me to run around. Okay. I'll read from John chapter 1 and verse 17. I'm going to do the reading. I want you to do the listening, right? All through. You can, of course, open your Bible, but I would want you to listen carefully. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And verse 16. From his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. Grace in the Varnan Atyapur. We have a fantastic definition, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, that's what when we teach, we try to make people remember what is grace in its simplicity. God's riches at Christ's expense. But that's not just that. There is much more to it. There is so much more to it that all our life will not be sufficient to continue to taste the grace. I have reminded this earlier. Children, you also can answer me. At the end of all our services, there is a conclusion we call benediction. That's from scripture, right? Because if you look at all the epistles and the letters, there is a benediction. They don't call it a benediction, but there is something called a benediction. And what is the content of that? May the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the what? Fellowship. Communion. Yes, fellowship, the very fellowship that you are thinking in your mind. Yes, that fellowship, the fellowship we talk about meeting each other and, you know, pepping up each other, encouraging one another, crying on one another's shoulder. That fellowship. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion, fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us today morning, till the service is over, on Sunday, when? Till when? Forever. You know, sometimes you wonder, you think, what is this forever, forever? Of course, we know forever. God lives forever. We are going to live forever. What forever, forever? Why does the pastor need to keep saying this again and again and again at the end of the service? Because it's almost like saying the service is not over. It's just begun. But practically, we cannot continue the service from, 11:30 on Sunday till the next Saturday. We would have done that if we could. We would have done that if God would have arranged a big fair and you can just eat and drink and be merry in my presence. Do you think any of us will want to go anywhere else? No, we will not. We want to sit in his presence only. Like who? Who chose the good portion which Jesus said, that portion will not be taken away? Who chose the good portion? What was the good portion? Mary. Do you know that story? Not a story. I don't want to call it a story. It's an incident. You know, children? You know what happened that day? When Jesus went to that home. He walked into their friend's home. Yes, he loved them. They loved him. And what is happening? Martha is cooking because, yes, we have to cook. There are disciples coming. Probably Jesus is not alone, right? It's all his disciples. Maybe, I don't know. Count the number. And then she's doing that. She's doing that out of zeal. She's trying to probably, let me add a few things here. Probably she is not distracted in the sense that she wants to listen also. So in between, probably she'll be coming and saying, oh, Mary, my sister is sitting there. This is not fair. Only you can't hear. I also want to hear. So Lord, Jesus, can't you see? Would you not bid her to come and help me? I don't think she was selfish and thinking that I don't want to listen to you, Jesus. I just want to serve you from the kitchen. That is not what it meant. And Jesus also didn't take it that way. But you know what Jesus said? He just made a statement of truth. You know, Mary has chosen the good portion. Between these two, the blessing and the fullness. And the fullness of the stomach also. And the fullness of the spirit is when you receive the word of God, who is Christ himself. Right? And let me add, children, to that story. God forgive me if I'm completely wrong. When you reach heaven, he will tell you. Let me add it here. And then Jesus rose up and went into the kitchen and cooked along with Martha. Yes. That story is not needed to be told because that is our Lord Jesus Christ. The picture is not Jesus sitting there and saying, oh, you cook. Mary has chosen the good portion. You do whatever you want. No. Then something is wrong with Jesus' character. Right? But we don't need to add because God says don't add to scripture. But we can speculate humbly and say, oh Lord Jesus, that day I'll run to Martha and ask, you know, what happened next? Why did the passage stop there? Because we don't need to tell. If you know your Lord Jesus Christ, you will know. That is most likely what he would have done. He didn't end it there rudely. Grace upon grace we have received. I want to add one more thing. The epistles, when you read, Paul keeps saying, when he begins it, forget about the benediction. When he begins it, what does he say? What are the few typical words? Jess, can you tell me? Mahima, can you tell? Shivani. What are the few words? Repeatedly, boring. He repeats it again and again. It's not needed. I'm saying it's not needed. What is it? Yeah, what is the greeting? What is in the greeting? It's not how's the weather or, you know, how's the climate. What is it? What is it? Huh? Again, the grace of God. Again, talking about the love. He begins by saying, may the grace of God, by the grace of God, and so on and so on and so forth. You know why? You know why? Because we need the grace of God every moment, every day. You know, that is why sometimes we need to step back and think. It's not just the definition is enough. That's why I said God's riches at Christ's expense is excellent. That is right for our salvation. Yes, right. But you still need that grace every moment. And we have to keep receiving it. And we have to give. We have to keep thirsting for it. And when will you thirst? You'll thirst only when you acknowledge it. അതുകൊണ്ട് ആ പാട്ടിന് അർത്ഥമുള്ളത് കൃപ ലഭിച്ചവരെല്ലാം കൃപ ലഭിച്ചില്ലവർ ഇല്ലാത്തവരോ കൃപ ലഭിച്ചിട്ട് ലഭിച്ചില്ലെന്ന് നടിക്കുന്നവരോ സ്തുതിക്കാൻ സാധിക്കത്തില്ല. യുനോ ഇൻ മലയാളം ദർ ഇസ് എ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്മെന്റ് ഐ വിൽ ട്രാൻസ്ലേറ്റ് ഇൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് പ്രോബബ്ലി ഇൻ അതർ ലാംഗ്വേജസ് ഉറങ്ങുന്നവനെ ഉണർത്താം ഉറക്കം നടിക്കുന്നവനെ ഒരിക്കലും ഉണർത്താൻ പറ്റത്തില്ല. യു ട്രൈ ഇറ്റ് അറ്റ് ഹോം. Try with your children in the morning when you wake them up to go to school. Yeah. Right? If they are really sleeping, they'll jump up and... But if they are faking sleep, they'll continue to snore. They'll continue to sleep. And you will not be able to... You understood? Did you understand what I said? If you're acting or feigning sleep, you cannot. How can you wake up? Because you continue to sleep, right? But if you're really sleeping, you can wake up. So what I'm trying to say here is, beloved, As children of God, when we come together in the name of Jesus, the only thing that we are expected to be doing from the bottom of our heart is to say, thank you. Only that. You will understand when I say only that. Because from that will flow everything else. If you are truly grateful to our God and to Jesus Christ, what will your life be? What will your desires be? What will your actions be? What will be the passion of your heart? What will be the things that you will occupy yourselves with? So when we come together, that is why praising and thanksgiving, praise and thanksgiving is key, not just key, it is foundational, and probably the only thing we can ever do back to God. God actually doesn't need our services. He raises one, puts down another. He uses pagans, pagan kings, he raises up to do his work. He does not need George Matthew. It's my privilege to be seeking after him, to be receiving his grace every day. Acknowledging wholehearted, that makes a difference. Beloved, there is the definition of faith in the best or the precise one. What is it? Children, you tell me. If somebody asks you, what is faith? Which is the passage that comes to your mind? Which I think, I'll tell you, is New Testament. It's towards the end. Yeah. Yes. Yes, yes. Guess what? Praise the Lord. What's your name, boy? Eden. I knew. You are the one who knows all that, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11. Do you know that by heart? Tell me. Wait. There are people on Zoom.
Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. His version is tougher than what I have in my mind. Let me let me downgrade it to my RSV. Okay. You're right, Vane. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And one more thing. Conviction of things not seen. Both are very deep words. Assurance and conviction. Assurance and conviction. Assurance is not half-baked. Assurance is not, I hope it won't rain today. That's not assurance. Assurance is, I know in whom I have believed. You've heard that from Paul's mouth? I know, any career. I know he who began the good work in me. I know, it's not a hope. It is the assurance of things hoped for. Mind you the difference. Assurance of things hoped for. The world does not have it. Kruba labhichorku maatrame ad ariyathullu. We have received the grace of Jesus. Our only thing we can do is to respond to that grace and to say, thank you. I am unworthy. I am unworthy. Beloved, yesterday, Brother Ebenezer sent a good, very good video, and that was the one on regarding yoga. Some of you might have seen it. So I was listening to him. One of the things that really moved me in that was not the fact of the yoga part, that definitely, it's beautiful in simple terms, he said, but how did the grace of God reach his heart? He was a professor of yoga. His entire life was set apart for that, going around teaching. He's an American. I think an American. Right? And he said it came to a point when he would have, I don't know which state, Florida or one of the states, he said, that he would have seminars, published seminars on yoga. And this one was very important. And he published it so that thinking that everybody will know. Sure enough, everybody heard it. One church saw the advertisement. And you know what they did? They started a 24-hour prayer. That's what he said. Continuous prayer for his salvation. How did God's grace then come to his heart? Two things. Miraculously, mind-boggling at the same time, logically as well. Both happened. So he was also a seeker in some sense. So he said there was not a day that he would not meditate. He would not read the Bhagavad Gita. And he would not read all that scriptures, but never the Bible. And then, I forget the connection, probably if you remember that you can tell, that one day he decided, I think it was a trigger of a friend or someone had told him, he said, okay, one day I'm going to set apart, today I'm going to read only the Bible and meditate only about Jesus. Remember, he's not a believer. He's a practicing yogi or yogic or whatever it is. How did that happen? It began because a church was praying. Unknown. They just saw the advertisement. They started praying. And what happened? He said at the end of that day, was it the same day or the next day? He mentioned, you can see the video, okay. So you can go check what I'm trying to say or what brother shared. At the end of that day, he went for hiking. So he said that he was not into television and things like that. He was like a yogi, you know, a sannyasi, but not in the hills. So he would go for hiking. And he said, that's what he was doing. That day he read the Bible and all that, and then he went hiking. Then at the same time, the miracle that happens, there is one of the members of the church to whom the Holy Spirit tells very clearly. The person is going to put his clothes for wash. That's what he said, the laundromat. So the Holy Spirit tells him, don't go and wash your clothes now. Get into the car and drive. He is thinking, what is this? This is the work that I have to do. Okay, rather than this, but he obeys. Not knowing that then, never does he give a lift to a person in the car, because it's dangerous. But that day, the Holy Spirit then told him, take this man. Who is walking on the road? This professor. Who read the Bible the whole day, and he is going on hiking. And he got in. And he says, the professor says, as soon as I got into the car, I see the picture of Jesus at the top ceiling. Immediately, he was convicted because the whole day is reading the scripture, Bible, talking, asking Jesus. And he says very clearly, ask Jesus, if you are Lord, please reveal yourself somewhere. He said, instantly I knew this is not coincidence. He calls it God incidence. He said, this is not coincidence, this is God incidence. And then the other man of the church who was praying just asked him. He doesn't know anything, right? He just said, have you heard about Jesus? Do you want to know about him? And he, of course, immediately responded, I want to know. He was shocked because, you know, usually who will say at the first instance, yes, I want to know and hear. And there he gave his life to Jesus. He is now a professor of who? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I just saw the video, right? So God's grace knocks at the door and comes. The only thing we can say is to say, thank you for choosing me. Thank you, Jesus. You know, in my younger days, I do not have any testimony to say that, you know, I was once a drug addict or once a villain or once, you know, an evil person. All through my life, I've been godly. God had a purpose in that. Very often I have been embarrassed wondering when somebody asks you, tell me your testimony. Okay, testimony, what testimony? I always loved Jesus. You know, that's the kind of thing. Who is going to believe that? You always love Jesus. Oh, you're a traditional Christian and you don't know this and that, right? But no, I know my story. I can tell you that. Right? I can tell you how Jesus did that. And some of you know about it. You know how Jesus prepared me? Jesus prepared me when I was in Africa. I was born in Ethiopia, raised up in Nigeria, and then back here. We share some DNA with George Christie and probably I don't know any other Nigerians here. So, Georgie was also Nigeria that time. We don't know him that time. Okay, but that's it. But God had a great plan and purpose. Who planned? Who went to Nigeria? My father went. For what did he go? He was a teacher. He went looking for good opportunities, trying to help his family. But who was ordaining that? Who directed the steps? Many other plans of man, but the steps are ordered by the Lord. Right? He chose before the foundation of the world. You begin to see that. Children, listen to my story. All right? And so there, how did God prepare me? I never knew about the Bible in the sense of, you know, what we should have known. But in the curriculum of an African school, there was a subject which is called religious knowledge. I don't know, Georgie, did you do that? It's not there in India. Huh? It's not there in UK. It's not there in the US. It's not there in New Zealand, Australia. But it is there in Africa. Because God chose George Matthew. Because he loved before the foundation. Why? Because he's a good guy? No. Unmerited favor is called grace. Krubal bichorella. Devate sudhikatte. I learned Bible as a subject from my age of probably 6 or 7. Not knowing the truth of it. Not knowing who Jesus is, even though I was born in a Christian home, because nobody told me it is true. I only knew it is a probably religious crutch, which many think it is. But God was preparing. I still remember, I'm telling you, I remember so joyfully today. My 11th, it is called the WAEC exam, Georgie will know, West African Examination Council. WAEC. Like you say, CBSE, that was it. Okay, West African Examination Council. I still remember my 10th grade exam in religious knowledge. One of the subjects, one of the topics, it's called a context question. The question was on Acts chapter 7 or 9, the conversion of Saul. I still remember writing that essay about the conversion of Saul in my 10th standard, not knowing Jesus. Who taught me? Who prepared? Jesus Christ, out of his mercy and grace. And then story continues. I did not become a believer that time, but one thing always stirred in my heart was, I used to say, oh my God, this has to be true. It's so good. I read about Moses. I read about the parting of the Red Sea. I said, but nobody told me this is true. I only understood that it is a story. It is a moral story. I longed for it to be true, but nobody told me it was true. It took many years later, right, when I came back to Trivandrum and I was studying Marivanus, and then later I was studying. Then I suddenly met a few believers who were staying with me in the hostel. And they told me it is true. And instantly, like that professor who is the yogic person, I said, oh, this is what I was waiting to hear. I immediately started fellowshipping with them. There it is. And came to know the Lord. I didn't even know that I came to know the Lord. Later, when I looked back, oh my God, that was the time, Jesus, that you chose me. But in between, frightening things happened. When I first went to Marivanus and stayed in the hostel, the first time away from home, I was staying in a Bethany ashram that time just started. And then that was the first batch. We had just 18 rooms, 18 students. And it was a dilapidated building, old one. And I moved in there. Because that was the only hostel. Marivanus did not have the hostel. So I moved there. And then freedom. And then without knowing Christ. That's the most dangerous thing to happen to our children. Without Christ in your life. When you get exposed to the world. Right? That is why we have great privilege. As parents. To raise them up in the fear of God. And children, you need to know that you are luckiest on this earth to have been born into a home that talks about Jesus. Sometimes, I want to tell that because sometimes the children feel, oh, it's too much. Children feel that, oh, since our childhood we are hearing only about Jesus and prayer and things like that. That's your privilege. That is your privilege. You have to throw up your hands to Jesus and say, thank you. And in fact, I will say, children, you have to also bend your knees if you have not done that and say, Jesus, I'm so sorry that I took it for granted. I thank you that I'm born into a home which has excessive prayer, which has excessive worship, which has excessive conversations about Jesus Christ and the gospel around the dinner table. It might be boring, it's fine. Jesus also knows. Right? Not everything is interesting. Sometimes it is boring. But still, it is a privilege to say thank you. So children, you have to say thank you. I want you to take that as an assignment. Tonight, if you go and sit and the Holy Spirit tells you, that means if you feel, oh, thank you. I did not realize. Thank you that I am in a home which talks about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, also I want to tell, some hearts here might be saying, it's too late. I couldn't do it for my children. That's okay. That is okay. Because now, I want to read that verse and tell you, that's a deep passage But I want to draw one point there and to tell you, because it's a message of hope. Okay, I want you to look at Psalm 95. Somebody can read that for me. It's there in Hebrews chapter 3 as well. So we look at it there also. Psalm 95. Verse 6 and 7, children, one of you children can read that. That's a famous, okay, go ahead, read.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you...
Hold on. That everybody knows. It's a song. I think the children know that. Can anybody sing that? Can you...
I don't know.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Is that the one? Is that the one? Can you read it again?
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand.
Okay, hold on. We are the sheep of His hand. Right, we know that. But I want to draw your attention to the next few verses. It's going to shake you a little bit, but that's how scripture is. It is meant to encourage, shake, kodanya nivarkan vendi. All scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. The breath of God, actually, it says. And it's profitable for, who knows that verse? 1 Timothy, 3:16, 1 or 2. 1 Timothy 3:16. All scripture inspired by the breath of God, and it's profitable for teaching. Yeah, doctrine or teaching. Doctrine means teaching, to make you understand. Teach you what? The very things you are looking for. You want to get married? Yeah, Jesus teaches you. You want to share your testimony, angel, to your family? Yes. How to share? Jesus will teach you. Brother Eben is a retired life. What next? Jesus will teach you. You know that. You know that. God has given you that knowledge. But Jesus is your teacher. Through the word of God. Subhajaji, grandchildren, new daughter-in-law, how to deal, how to handle challenges. Yes. God's breath of life, His word, is profitable for you. He's teaching you. To teach you doctrine, then unpleasant. What? Correction. Let's park that. Teaching is okay. Teaching, I want to know. Correction. Correction? No. No. Correction. Equally, it's balanced. Hebrews chapter 12. Keep down, it says, you are my legitimate child. You know what I'm getting at? You have worldly fathers who disciplined you at their own will, for their own whims and fancies. I'm adding that. But I am not like that. I love you. I love you. I care for you, Jesus says. And therefore, correction is good. It is sweet. It's beautiful. It brings, it restores you. It brings you to life. It gives you success in your life. It gives you direction. It gives you meaning and purpose. Not only that, supernaturally, He also blesses your generation down. You want your children to be blessed, your children's children to be blessed. That's the way it is. Correction from the word of God. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing because He knows graciously. You know one fantastic verse I came across. I want somebody to read that. Jeremiah 10:24. Jeremiah 10:24. I wish you would. It so touched me. I'll tell you, it will touch you also. It's about correction. Anybody got it? Jeremiah 10:24. You want to get it?
Jeremiah 10:24. Correct me, Lord, but only with justice, not in your anger, lest you reduce me to nothing.
So those of us who are afraid of correction, pray that prayer that Jeremiah prayed. Correct me, O Lord, but but in just measure. It's almost like, look at the picture. That's why we need skits and, you know, show it off in this. It's almost like Jeremiah saying, correct me, O Lord, I really want it, but just measure. Just measure. Because if you do correct me otherwise, you will bring me to nothing. If this God decides to pay back for what you did, what hope is there? There is no hope. There is no hope. But in Christ. That is why Jesus says, one who has spurned the Son, there is no more. Once you are crucifying again, there is no more hope outside of the cross. You are looking for hope outside of the cross. Where illa? It's only judgment. It's only hellfire. But in the cross, you begin to understand now. What is there in the cross? But only on the basis of the cross. If there's no resurrection, there's no faith, we will wind up and go. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, down 19. You are of all men most to be pitied if you have only hoped in Christ for this life. That's the verse. You're of all men most to be pitied. Are you living for this life? Are you waiting for just the things of this life? No. We are not. It's about resurrection. Our eternal life. This is a passing phase. We are pilgrims. It's too short. 70, 70, 80 bonus. 90, 100, God calls it ripe old age. Manga padithingina thungi irikkinnu. But so, it's a blessing, by the way. Rachel. Sorry, I'm saying Malayalam in between. Probably some of you don't know Malayalam. Okay, but I keep saying this, okay? So come back to this. Again, I want to tell you. Grace upon grace. I'm taking a few more minutes. Now, sorry, this I'm not yet in that verse. Now look at the correction, okay? I'm saying, teaching, correction. One more thing is there. As though this, it's like, you know, they say, right? You know, woundinte porathu uppungal thekkuva ennu parayunnavar. You know, you already don't rub salt into the wound. God, teaching, reproof, correction, then? Huh? Eh? No. Go back, look at it again. Teaching? Any other version? This is a paraphrased version. Any other version? Anybody can say? Orakke paranjo, pedikenda. Rebuking, vazhakku, scolding. Jesus is saying, my word is full of the breath of life. I will teach you, my child, because I love you. I will also correct you, because sometimes you don't know you're going in the wrong direction. I'll correct you. You listen to me. Sometimes I'll take the stick. It's needed because of us, not because of God. You know, I know children. In fact, those who know psychology or probably even doctors, you would know that, right? The healthiest families that we see are the ones in which the rod was not spared. But, mind you, in the way God wants, it's the healthiest families, because the children actually, you know what we think, you know what the West thought? That you can't take the stick against the child because the child has its own human rights. How dare my father will beat me? I have my own right. I have my own desire. I want to do this. Who are you to stop me? That's against God's word. Folly. Bible says folly is bound up in a child's heart. But the rod of discipline will. Whatever it says. Right? So you need to understand that. I know of children who have testified, including my nephew. My father was not disciplining me. I know what I lack because of that. You understand that? I'm talking about my nephew who is saying that. When the child will grow, children, if your papa takes a stick and scolds you for something, or your father Manu scolds you for something, or Eden, right? Remember that you will grow up a strong person. You will grow up a man of integrity. You will grow up a godly man. Because your father is obeying God in blessing you. Alright, so scolding or the stick is part and parcel of our blessing. Because of our problem, not God's problem. If you can be perfect, no stick is there. Yeah, who wants to use a stick against a child? Be a perfect child, your father will never scold you. Sudhi, be a perfect daughter, I will never scold you. You know what scolding? Just be perfect. Yeah, we desire to do that. So let's go back. Teaching. Correction. What is correction? You go wrong, you're going to set right. Just listen to me. Right? Okay. Jewel. Alright? And then reproof or stick. And go on. Who is the first Bible? Huh? Training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. You want to be righteous, I want to be righteous. You thirst for righteousness, I thirst for righteousness. And God is training us. God will give you the capacity. God will keep you in those circumstances. God will use you and train you in righteousness. What is righteousness? Let's bring it down to, break it down into simple language. Otherwise we'll leave it and go. What is righteousness? How do you know you're righteous? Caleb? Eden? How do you know you're righteous? What is the meaning of righteousness? See? Yeah? See, children are afraid to answer. You know why? Because we have complicated it. Righteousness, it's a theological term there. No! That's not how God speaks. Being right with God. When you obey God, when you listen to God's word, and then you be right. Righteous. Training in righteousness, God does. And then go on and see that the man of God might be equipped, fully equipped. Not just equipped. Fully equipped for what? The one thing that we all want to do, the world wants to do. For every? Huh, good work. Good work. Everybody wants to do. All religions want to do. Everybody wants to do. We also want to do. Yes. But we will be trained by the merciful, gracious, empowering hand of God to be truly righteous. Now come back to Psalm 95. Before I close and read the next passage. So remember, keep that in context. I said, if anybody is afraid of correction, reproof from God, pray the prayer of Jeremiah. Oh Lord, correct me, but in just measure. Still you ask God. Say, give me only that which I can handle. Lord, I can't. Because if you don't do that, I will be brought to nothing. That is a position of acceptance before God and saying, actually, I know God. I do not have any merit to stand before you. In fact, if your face turns to me, my heart will sink. But I know you're a gracious God. Correct me because I need it. All right. Again, read Psalm 95 and the next 2-3 verses.
Do not harden your hearts at that Meribah. As in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I had loathed that generation, and said they are people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways.
Okay. Alright. I'll read that, I'll connect with Hebrews, and then we will end. But with a prayer that you will respond to Jesus in a special way today. Not because I am preaching, but because his word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It pierces the division of joints and marrow. A surgeon will be able to probably understand or probably not understand. And then it says discerning the thoughts and intentions of the human heart. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. And then 13 says, before him we are laid bare. No creature is hidden. Before whom we are accountable. We have to do. Right? We cannot escape. We are not in no man's land. We are in his presence whether we believe or not, unbelieving, no believing, everything. But we are accountable to the one who created us. There's no escape. We are laid bare before him. But it's a privilege for those who love Jesus. For those who have received his grace through the cross of Christ. Let me read it again. Harden not, oh, that today you would hearken to his voice. Today. I just want to keep that in context. What I said earlier, remember, some of us might be thinking, oh no, I have lost so many years. I couldn't raise up my children like this. Oh, I couldn't make the right choices. No, it doesn't matter. Yes, of course, acknowledge it. But what is this day called? Is it today? Then you have hope. Just turn to Jesus today. Just accept before him and say, Jesus, clock starts now. Sorry, past is gone. The God who replenishes even lost years. Can you believe that? I believe it. I believe it. He does it, and there's no time for that. There is testimonies for that also. Nashtapatta varshangale tirichu theran pettunna Yeshu. Uyarthezhunnettu Yeshu. Jesus can restore the lost years. He's done it. He does it. That's the testimony. Our children must hear it. If any of you have such testimonies, you must share it and share it to the children and the church and say, do you know this God whom Joel the prophet talks about and says he restores the years that the locusts have eaten? Enikku nashtamaya varshangal thirichu therunna devam. So today ennu parayunna divasam, if you are able to hear, that means you are alive. Manasilla, that is the idea. Tomorrow I don't know whether I'll be alive. Today, if there's a year, there's a day called today. Hearken to me. Don't be hard-hearted. Listen to me. And then he says, you know the context. This is in Israel, talking about unbelief. He says, your fathers tested me at the waters, though they saw my good works. They saw my miracles. Not that I didn't do anything for them. I did, but they did not. That's the hardness of heart. Beloved, Jesus, you have received the grace of Jesus. You know, all of us in this room have. Otherwise, you will not be here. I am 120% sure that you have received the grace of Jesus, at least a call. Otherwise, you will not be here. Not because Shammah is something big. No, because Jesus whom we worship is big. Right? So remember, do not harden your hearts. For 40 years, when your fathers tested me, put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in heart. What is wrong there? They had error. No correction. They don't like reproof. Teaching, yes. I want to hear teaching. I want to teach. I want to hear teaching. But no correction, no reproof. They err and they do not regard my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger they should not enter my rest. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. So that you have the right context in which we are speaking. It's a warning passage, but it's good for us. Hebrews chapter 3. Okay, now I'm going to read. For paucity of time, I'm reading from Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 5 onwards. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later, but Christ was faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house. Who is we? We are Jesus' house, his body, his house, God's household, if we hold fast our confidence and pride in our hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, now he is quoting from Psalm 95. The writer of the Hebrews is quoting. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, remember we read it earlier, the psalmist wrote it, but here God tells us it's the Holy Spirit who wrote it. We know how that happens, right? God inspires. The Holy Spirit inspired and the psalmist wrote. Holy Spirit says, today when you hear his voice, today when you hear his voice, forget about the past. Maybe last 70 years you have not heard. Last 40 years you have not heard. Children, maybe last, how old are you? 11. Maybe last 7 years you have not listened to the word of God. It's fine. Today is there, right? Today you make a choice and say, I will listen. Like George Uncle. Like you touched George Uncle in Africa. Jesus, I want you also to be my teacher. Yes, it doesn't matter which means that he uses. I want to be. So you ask Jesus. I'm just using my testimony. But you'll have the testimony of so many people, of God's people, to be able to say that. Today when you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to the test and saw my work for 40 years. Look at the heart of a father. Look at it. Think that also like a skit. You know, we should act it out and see. It's like the God saying on the day when your fathers put me to the test. God, I don't think he's saying when your fathers put me to the test. No. When your fathers put me to the test, you know, I blessed them that they would not hearken. I loved them. I gave them manna. They cried for it. I promised. I said, I'll take you. In less than a month's time, I'll take you across Palestine and take you to the promised land. But you did not listen. You would not hearken. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How much I desired. Like what? To gather you under my wings. But you would not. Beloved, anyone here who has not been responding to Jesus' grace and love, or taking him for granted, or thinking that we know everything, but we do not. Beloved children, Jesus loves you. He wants to gather us under his wings. He loves and cares, and he is the only thing we will live for, because he is the one who gives meaning and purpose and clarity, removes confusion, gives wisdom. You know what is the fear of God? The fear of God is the beginning of, children, do you want to be wise or foolish? You really want to be wise? So where do you need to start? Just now you said, fear of God. And where's the fear of God? Through his word. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Fear him more than you fear your father or your mother or your teacher or your principal. Fear him and you will have success. You will have blessing. All right. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation. God is saying, therefore, Adunda, don't hold me accountable. God is saying, you can't hold me accountable. Because you did and you deserve what you got. Right? God is saying that out of love. And he's saying, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. And therefore, I swore in my wrath and so on. Now, the last verse I'll tell you here. Verse 12. Can somebody read that? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12.
Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God.
Just want to leave you with that. That's a deep thought. You can go and read that also. There is two things that I want to note. Unbelief is equated to evil. Take care who? Brethren. Brethren, no. Take care, ungodly pagans, correct? Take care, brethren. And then when you go and read, you see, take heed that the deceitfulness of sin will not cause that unbelief. Remember faith we talked about? The assurance, Eden? The assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And that conviction is not blind faith. That is occult, all occultism, or what do you call it? That is called superstition. What's the difference between superstition and faith? Superstition is not assurance of things hoped for. It's just a hope. Yeah, I will do this, it might happen. There's no conviction of things not seen. Right? And we who are rationalizing things every day, we don't have conviction of things not seen. We insist on conviction of things that is only seen. But faith is what? Why? Because we trust God's word. Not again blind. It is not that my ideas and then I will believe something about, you know, whether it is abortion rights, whether it is this, whether it is that, or homosexuality, I just believe and, you know, I'm a good man and believe. No, that's foolishness. What does the God who created you, what does Jesus Christ of Nazareth, through whom, by whom, for whom, everything was created, including your breath of life, it will stop the minute Jesus stops it. Right? Take care that you do not have an evil, unbelieving heart that leads you to fall away. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today. So there is always hope, beloved. One more thing. Just yesterday on a WhatsApp group, I was reading about a lady in the Northeast. Her name, I don't know her directly, Malsami Jacob. She has become a writer. You know at what age? 50. At age 50, she was in a USI conference in Kotagiri. And she said, the Lord told me to start writing. That's all. She's never written before that. And then she began writing for the newspapers in Assam, I think, and then Northeast. And she's written a few books. And God has led her to write many books, encouraging many others. At the age 50. So there's no age bar or limit. There is no career that God cannot change. There is no, I tell my daughters, you don't need to worry. If you don't like fashion design, she doesn't like fashion design. I said, yeah, fine, no problem. When you finish this, God will give you something else. You might be doing completely something different. Completely. But it'll be according to your interest. God will give you that. So you don't need to worry and crib. I'm in Saint Teresa's. I can't survive this. Yeah, don't survive. Finish it and get out, and then God will give you something else. But you love Jesus, no? Look to Jesus. Don't look at my face. If you look to Jesus, you will have success in your life. If you look into his word, Jesus is the word of God, you will listen. If you take reproof, correction, teaching, what is profitable to you? You will have success and you will testify to the glory of God. Those who know me will want to ring the bell now because I've taken 50 minutes. And like my friend said, probably you can call me, you know, AT&T, there's a company called AT&T. AT&T is a telecom company, but we have another acronym for it, or you know, it's an abbreviation for always talking and talking. So I am an AT&T guy, so I will stop here. But may the breath of God continue to touch your heart. Do not leave this room without making commitments. I don't mean extraordinary commitments which you cannot meet. A commitment to say, my Jesus. Children, I told you one of the things that you have to do. If God convicts you to say, I have never thanked you, Jesus, for having birthed me to parents who know you. Today I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Right? Not all of us are privileged like that. My parents were not like that. But I'm saying, this is what we mean by commitment. Okay, something that the Holy Spirit teaches you, you go back and make it your own. And to receive correction and teaching and reproof. But above all, not to harden our heart, but to say, oh Lord Jesus, my heart is hard, dull of hearing, but Jesus, please, would you open it? Make that commitment and God will bless you because he is the one who loves you, not me. I love you, but I can't continue to love you. I have my restrictions to love you and I have my failures in loving you, but Jesus loves you and loves you, loves you. We have received from him fullness of grace upon grace. Shall we just pray? Jesus, thank you and praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Take all glory. Master, this is your word. Jesus, you are the word. And you have promised that it will bring in penetrating clarity, convictions. It will teach our children. It will bring convictions and assurance of hope. Jesus, all through your cross. Thank you. Keep bringing us back together just now as we read, Lord, that as long as there is a day called today, we will not neglect to meet each other and to encourage one another, to share the testimony of the living God in our lives. Thank you and praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the church and all those who are attending through Zoom. Jesus, and healing for those who are sick, Master in heaven, we cry out to you, not because we have some magic, oh Lord, but just because you have said in the cross, Lord, you will heal. You have died for us. You have also shed your blood for our sicknesses, our infirmities also. And so we appeal to you, Jesus. Thank you. That is all we can do. And we thank you. Jesus, we pray that there will be true conviction of your word in the hearts of all those who have heard, beginning with me. Thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.